I was going to start this sermon with a rock joke, but I decided that you all take my jokes for granted. I'll go on then. What's the difference between a steak and a rock? One is pretty meaty, the other is a little meatier. Jesus is in an inventive mood in today's passage. We can't find any other examples of the name Peter in the ancient world before this. Petros in Greek or Cephas in Aramaic are derived from the word for rock, and their names made up by Jesus for Simon Peter. You are rocky, Jesus said, and on this rock I will build my church. It's quite an important moment then. Peter was the leader of the apostles, whose eyewitness testimony about Jesus is the foundation of our Christian faith. After Jesus' resurrection, Peter was a rock of that faith, standing firm even in the face of death. But the thing about rocks is, they're strong, yes. They're firm, yes. There's even a beauty about them. But they don't do very much. If I left that rock there, what would it do? Not a lot. Even the gale force winds we've had this week wouldn't budge it. I like rocks, especially when they clump together as mountains. It's worth pausing to admire rocks, every bit as much as we should admire Peter for his rock-like faith. But to stop there would be to miss the point. To think this passage is about Peter would be to miss the point. Jesus said this, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Sure, Peter the rock is in that sentence, but it's actually about Jesus. He says to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." The point is not the rock, it's what Jesus does with it. See, Jesus is the builder. Now that shouldn't surprise us. Creativity is part of God's character. He is the God who makes something out of nothing, who made a nation for himself from a childless couple nearly 100 years old. Jesus is the builder. "I will build," he says. Sometimes we get it the wrong way around. We ask Jesus to help us build. We ask him to help us do what we want to do instead of asking him what he wants us to do. It's important we get that the right way round. For example, when you pray for your friends and family, do you first ask Jesus what he wants for them? How he would like you to pray? You may find that something, an impression, a picture, a verse from the Bible might pop into your head if you do. It's one of the things that Pete Gregg suggests in his book, How to Pray. Can you imagine if Jesus said to you what he said to Peter that day? Would it go to your head? I suspect it went to Peter's for a while. Remember, not long after this, the disciples started arguing about which of them was the greatest. Although after Jesus said this to Peter, I'm not sure there could be much debate. Peter could easily have missed the little word "my" in there. "I will build my church," Jesus said. And Peter could have acted as though it were his church. After all, he's the rock on which it's built. But Peter ended up in the right place. He wrote these words in his first letter. As you come to Jesus, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Peter isn't interested in pressing his claim to be the rock, but pointing people to Jesus. There's no, I am the rock. Instead, he says, come to him, the living stone. And he continues, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. He talks about us, God's people, but always pointing up and away to God. This is the best model of how we should talk, sing, worship, pray, even live. Even when Peter talks about us, he's talking about Jesus, because we are his. I will build my church, Jesus says. I wonder what picture pops into your head when you hear those words. Buildings, verses, and bishops. The word Matthew uses for church here is the word ecclesia. It was the word for a gathering of people, the gathering of citizens to vote in a Greek city, or the gathering of God's people in synagogues. That means what Jesus was and is building is a community of people, a family of believers, a nation of faith. And that means that what makes a church building special isn't the stones or the stained glass or the beautiful sanctuary, special and lovely though they are. It's the people who meet inside it and the God who is building them into a family. I will build my church, Jesus says, and I find that hugely reassuring. Did you spot the contrast between life and death in these passages? Peter calls Jesus the Son of the living God. No abstract God here, but a living God. Years later in his letter, Peter calls Jesus the living stone, and he calls us living stones. And Jesus says, the gates of Hades, a symbol for the power of death, will not overcome his people. It is deeply painful that we can't meet in our church building right now, and that even when we do reopen, hopefully in a couple of weeks, only a handful of us will be able to meet at any one time. It may, and possibly does, sometimes feel as though our church is dying. But our church family is not standing still. We have not pushed the pause button, and we are definitely not dying. Things may, in fact, they probably will change. But what won't change is Jesus, the life that comes from him and the work he is doing within and among us to build. So my hope and prayer is that when we are able to meet finally, all of us together once more, we will find that we are stronger and closer than ever in Jesus. Because Jesus is building his church, even here in Amington. And nothing, not a thing, not even a global pandemic can stop him. And that surely deserves an alleluia. This week, let's spend some time thanking Jesus for all he is doing, despite and maybe even through the pandemic. And next week, we'll be thinking about how we can join in with what he is doing. Amen.